So,
you know, you were on my calendar for this interview, and I saw that a number I didn't recognize, sure. And I just ended the call.
I never answer a call from a number I don't recognize. So you're not the only one. Like, don't worry about it.
You're very kind, and I appreciate the voicemail. I was like, oh no.
It's no problem at all. So, are you on tour now? I didn't look at your schedule. Are you at home or?
You know, I am home actually right now. We're about to leave on tour in just a couple of days. So, you caught me at a perfect time. Although
great.
I can still talk on the phone on the tour. But
where is home? Is it Austin?
You know, home right now is Dallas, Texas.
In Dallas, okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure. Now, but did you grow up there as well?
We all grew up in this area, but we didn't grow up in Dallas.
Okay.
We grew up in Fort Worth and some smaller towns surrounding that area, and then we moved to Dallas about 4 years ago or something like that.
Do all of you live in Dallas now?
We all live in Dallas. Our bass player does live in Austin, but he's up here a lot.
I got you. I have an uncle who lives in Plano, I think. I think it's Plano or Grapevine. I get the Dallas metropolitan area all mixed up, but I have an
idea.
So
big.
Let's talk about music. I saw you for the first time when you played the Southgate House here in June. And although I was not a big fan, a huge fan of Western Swing, you grabbed my attention right away with your talent and stage presence. It was really a great show. I can't be the first person who has said that to you.
Well, that's very kind. I appreciate it. I'm glad that, you know, I love it when I hear that somebody's maybe is not necessarily a fan of the style, but that's the thing that we want to do. We want to make music that you don't have to be a fan of the style. You just enjoy the music that we're making, and you don't have to be a country music fan or a Western Swing fan, and that's cool. So I like hearing that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's exactly what happened, is that, you know, it was like, well, maybe I should investigate this a little further. And so I am a country music fan. I don't know, you know, however you slice the genres. But I started watching the Ken Burns special. I had taped it and just was watching it. Fascinating, isn't it? I don't know if you've seen
it. Oh, man, it's so good. I haven't seen all of it yet, but I've been watching it. It's so good. Yeah.
Well, there are so many insights that I didn't know. And the second episode was basically Bob Wills, the second half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so going from knowing, I mean, literally almost nothing, to seeing how popular, how influential, how, you know, and not only the good stuff, that, you know, they showed his, you know, 5 marriages in 6 years too, and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
All of those things.
All, you know, roses.
But, I was just amazed. You probably knew all of this about him.
Well, I did pretty much know his story for the most part. But what was so cool watching the Ken Burns documentary, I love Ken Burns. I have watched some of his other documentaries, so I was so excited, excuse me, when I found out he was coming out with the country music one. But anyways, what's been so cool to me is to hear or to learn through the documentary, like, all the different ways different musicians knew each other and kind of were influenced by each other in more connected ways than I even realized.
Right.
But as far as, like, the Bob Wills story, it was, I thought he did such a good job of just laying that out, you know?
Yeah.
And showing the influence that he had and just sort of how he was really a pioneer in so many ways.
Absolutely. Well, was it growing up in Texas that led you to Western Swing? The show theorizes that the fiddle with the banjo is basically ground zero for all of country music. So you could have gone in many directions.
That's true. We could have. But I think Western swing, even though it's not its heyday, obviously, like back in Bob Wills' day or anything, there's still that influence in Texas. So I think if we had grown up in, you know, Virginia or Kentucky or something, we could have been playing bluegrass, you know, or some other style of you know, roots music or of some other influence of fiddling. But we grew up in Texas, and so we heard Texas-style fiddling, that kind of breakdown fiddling, and then we heard Bob Wills stuff. And we were actually turned on to Bob Wills and a lot of the country music that we grew up listening to from our fiddle teachers. But they moved to Texas because of just the beat, you know, history of all the great, you know, country music and Western swing that's just unique to Texas. It's definitely spread around the whole country, but it kind of originated from here.
Sure. And it's interesting how those people who get you at an early age, and, you know, so that may be what you kind of go toward. Those are those influences and things like that. And it's interesting that you were saying that, because you were going to fiddle festivals as teenagers, correct?
Yeah, they were just fiddle contests. There's a lot of them still in Texas, and they're fiddle contests around the whole country. But we did grow up going to a lot of fiddle contests.
Did you run across people like Sarah Watkins or some other people? She seems to be a contemporary of yours. And know people like that when they were young? That just always fascinates me that, you know, when you see the pictures of the 13-year-old Sarah Watkins and Chris Thiele or any of the Queenie sisters or anything. So.
We weren't in their circles at that age, or they weren't in our circles at that age. They're a little bit, she's a little bit older than me, I think.
Okay.
But they were, I think, when we started kind of running across them, I've never actually run across Chris Thiele because he, you know, just got so big and famous, but I've seen him play several times. He's incredible. But, we didn't run into, like, the Watkins family until we were years and years later, more recent years, like at different festivals and events and things like that.
Gotcha.
Because the Texas-style fiddle contest world, it's kind of a niche thing in a lot of ways. And it's crazy that there's so many different...
It really is, isn't it?
I know.
It's so funny, you know. But, which leads me to the next part of it. You've been doing this for more than 20 years now,
is what I'm
not exactly sure how old you are. The different, this is the danger of the internet, because it's like,
I know,
Quavy sisters in 2018, 13, 15, and I said, wait a minute,
that
can't be right.
You're like... Yeah, no, that's totally wrong. we're quite a bit older than people sometimes think, which I'm like, okay, that comes in handy, I guess. But, you know,
go ahead.
But yeah, no, that's inaccurate.
Well, that's funny because, again, like I said, well, they can't be that old if they've been playing for 20 years together. So there's that. But you call the tagline for the new album is "Here We Are Again for the First Time." Is this the first time you've recorded original tunes? You have three of them on the new record.
It is, yeah. It's the first time we've put any of our own originals on there. It's the first time that we've self-produced an album. You know, us and our band, we're all part of the process. So it just felt like something, it felt like a new chapter that we've been working towards. Kind of a new direction for our music and our sound, and so that's kind of how that tagline applies.
Right.
But I can go into more detail if you want, but that's kind of the thumbnail.
Have you written songs for your whole life, or was there a point where you said, because there's that one little thing where you ran across Ricky Skaggs when you were just fiddlers, and he said maybe you guys should sing as well. Have you always been writing songs, or when did that come along?
You know, I remember I probably wrote my first little song when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
But I didn't write songs after that. I just kind of always kind of love the idea of writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always, you know, I really didn't get into songwriters till much later. I didn't think a whole lot about just the art of writing songs. But as we learned songs as a band, there were certain songs that just really jumped out to me and that I love so much. And like Cindy Walker has written some songs that, you know, when I was first getting into Bob Wills, it's like there's all these neat kind of cool Western swing tunes, but the songs that really grabbed me were like You Don't Know Me by right. Cindy Walker, or Hokie Carmichael's Georgia On My Mind, you know, like classics like that. I was like, that is a song, whoa. And you know, things like that always kind of grabbed me, but I never really tried to write songs. And you know, over the years, I've always kept just little scraps of lyric ideas or any little thing that I thought was cool. I'd write it down or record it or something. So I've always kind of done that. But it wasn't till probably, I don't know, about 5 or 6 years ago that I actually started writing a few songs. And then these three came about over the past couple of years. And we wanted to put them on the album, I haven't written that many songs, excuse me, but it's something that I've always been attracted to and interested in, and I want to start writing more and more if I can come up with anything good.
I think it's natural progression, absolutely, do that, and then, you know, and your songs will take all of the influences that you've had throughout your life.
Exactly.
But it'll be a Sophia Quaby song at that point and stuff, which is, you know, pretty cool when you think about it.
It really is. It is cool. And, you know, and my sisters and I have really gotten into, like, Willie Nelson over the past few years. I mean, we've always been a fan of his, but we've really started to just appreciate, like, his amazing songwriting ability,
mm-hmm.
like what he brought to the three chord country music is pretty incredible. Like he knows how to take just a simple amount of chords and melody that is so, it sounds so country, you know, so kind of traditional country, and yet do it in a new way, throw in a few different ways you can do the chord progression that just sounds so beautiful and so fresh. And that Summer of Roses song is one that he wrote, and I just fell in love with that song.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is such an unusual song. It's a country tune that has like a major 7 chord in it. What? And so I just, we all fell in love with it, and we had to put it on the album.
That's wonderful. Well, I've saved my trump card toward the end here. I'm from Piqua, Ohio, which I would think you might know, which is the home of the Mills Brothers.
No way. I didn't know that. Oh, that's so cool.
Piqua, Ohio, when you look them up. And
oh, my goodness.
I actually went to grade school on the same street as their father's barbershop was. I don't think the barbershop was still open. I'm pretty old, but I'm not quite that old. And so the signs as you come into town say home of the Mills Brothers and things like that, although they were not treated very well, as you can imagine.
What? Oh, Yeah, that's so sad.
In the early, and they, and so they, as I understand the lore, they would say that they were from Dayton, which is just 25 miles down the road, because Pick was a small town.
That is what I've heard the most, just kind of as the general thing.
Yeah. So when you're riding in a bus or traveling around and you want to look at the history of Piqua, Ohio, you'll see that the Mills brothers are from there. So when you were talking about them at the show, it was like I wanted to just stand up and start waving my arms and say, I'm from Piqua. I know the Mills brothers. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, someone your age and your sisters would run across them. They're certainly legends and everything, but they're not necessarily on the radar of teenage girls. Can you give me the quick story on that?
Oh, I can, yes. So Grace was out helping the husband and wife that both play fiddle that we took lessons from, and then Joey played guitar in our band. He's on our last CD. Anyways, Grace was out like teaching some fiddle class or workshop or something with Sherry, and she came home and she goes, y'all, she came to me and hold us. She goes, y'all, I heard this group and there's these four brothers. And she said, they're absolutely incredible. Some of the best harmony singing I've ever heard. And we didn't sing at the time, but we were into harmony. You know, we were playing fiddles and we were playing together in harmony. And we were getting into vocalist, although we hadn't started singing yet. And most of the harmony we had heard at that point was like the Sons of the Pioneers, which is really great, but it's a different thing, you know. And she said, they can imitate instruments and it's not, you know, it's like good. It's not cheesy, you know? And she's like, you're not going to believe it. You just have to hear it. And so Grace got a CD and she played us some of like the Mills Brothers' best cuts. And we absolutely were hooked from then on.
Great.
Like, yeah. And then that's the story.
That's wonderful. Well, I couldn't be happier that that happened, because then, you know, it's just, you know, we're kind of, I haven't lived there for 40, 50 years, but we're, you know, we certainly want to rehabilitate their history with the city and stuff like that. So I'll tell my friend this is going forward. So one last question, I'll let you get back to preparing to go on tour. I have two daughters, so I'm curious if you can tell me a little bit about working and I assume living in close proximity with your sisters for all of these years. Do you get along as well off stage as you seem to on stage?
You know, the truthful answer to that is we have fought like sisters before, but the older that we've gotten and the more dedicated that we aspire to be with our music, we realize that who you are as a person, and I'm not trying to be too. I need more coffee, so I can answer this question. Let me take a swig. But what we found out over the years is the more we try to work on our music and our art and kind of aspire to grow to the next level, we have to grow as people too. So any kind of like silly sibling quarreling just has to stop, because you can't and we've had our quarrels, you know, we're not perfect. We love each other to pieces and we'll get in arguments and stuff, and then we're like, we need to grow up here and be, you know, mature, and then we'll forgive each other and get over it. But the thing is the older we get, the more we get along. We get along better now than we ever have.
That's
you know?
Right.
And we love like working together and we do fun stuff outside of the band even though we see each other a lot.
That's wonderful. That
you
is
know,
so cool.
We're not sick of each other, and I'm really thankful for that. And, you know, we're sisters. We're not, I'm not going to try to, like, put on the phony thing and be like, oh, we always get along. But, you know, I have to say that basically what it's come down to is working really hard on our music and really trying to pour ourselves into doing something that we feel is, you know, a worthwhile end product, has forced us to really, like, address any personal issues, you know, and grow as people, which that encompasses, you know, trying to love your sister and trying to get along with your bandmates and you know, work through any issues and that sort of thing, because the music reflects who you are as a person and your state of emotion and, you know, how you get along with your bandmates. And so if there's any tensions, it's very hard to cover that up and then just go, you know, put on a show.
Right.
Because it's going to come through. The audience may not pick it up necessarily, but the art and the music will suffer to some extent. Like, you have to be in harmony to kind of, like, produce something that sounds, you know, harmonious. And we've kind of learned this as we've gone along, you know. And we used to have a lot more squabbles, like, over musical things. Like, you're doing this wrong, and and now we still are very honest with each other and like, practice. But we've just learned how to practice a little bit better and be more constructive with our criticism, you know. And it's a process. You've got to figure out, you know, how to do it. And,
that's just,
you know, I'm sure a lot of family bands.
Well, it's fascinating to see it. That's exactly what happened with my girls, too. My youngest one is 31, which I think is probably close to your age. And they both live out of town. They don't live in Cincinnati any longer, but we'll talk to one of them, and they will have said, well, I talked to Kate yesterday, or I talked to Jane yesterday. And, you know, they have their own relationship outside of the house. And it turns out that it's a really good relationship. And there's
That's
heartwarming to parents than to see that. So I'm sure your folks are just so proud of all of you and for everything at this point. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's great.
I love to hear that.
Yeah,
you know, I love my sisters. I'm really thankful that I can work with them. It's such a unique thing. You do it for so long, and then sometimes, you know, you can find that you don't realize, you know, how special it is, and then you kind of have to step back and go, oh, this is really cool. I get to work with my sisters, you know, and so.
It absolutely
good.
Is.
I'm sorry.
No.
I talked for a long time.
You did great, and we got out of there in under 20 minutes, so thank you so much. Thanks for taking
thank
the time
you.
This morning, too. I'm really looking forward to seeing you again when you come back through town. It's, like I said, it's when something exceeds expectations when you go into it, there's nothing better than that. And, you know, to discover, even though you've been around for 20 years, to discover something to me which is new, it's very exciting. So
thank you
for doing that. And thanks again for taking the time this morning. So, and don't forget Piqua, Ohio, the home of the Mills Brothers. So thanks, Sophia.
Thank you so much. I thought of one thing you might think is cool, before, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
We recorded some music videos for our new album, and we recorded them here in Dallas. We haven't released all of them yet, but what, I think we've released two of them. Anyway, we recorded them at the Longhorn Ballroom, which Bob Wills bought and owned and had right here in Dallas. And so Bob Wills has a big history right in Dallas. He recorded, like, his last record here in Dallas. And anyway, the videos are cool because, like, you can see the inside of the ballroom. It's just the same. They've kept it really well preserved on the inside, and it's pretty cool.
That's
anyway.
Great. I will certainly look those up and look forward to it. So thank you again. This has just been a delight. I really appreciate your time, and you know,
you're
wonderful. And we look forward to seeing. Actually, it's only 3 weeks away now at this point, so that'll be great.
Coming up.
Travel safely, and we'll see you then.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Too.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.